What are you doing?
Talking. Me? Just hanging around.
Yo,
you're always so smooth.
What do you mean? Wink, wink.
Last episode, like when we started, your arm wasn't around me, but all of a sudden it is. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
See?
It's almost
maybe
dead.
I'm the smooth one.
Wow. Hey,
spoken and came out.
9 years
speak
this
life.
Year, baby.
Speak life.
It's gonna be smooth. We celebrate our 9-year anniversary in a couple weeks. Fun fact.
It's true. That's not a fun fact. No. That is a fact.
It is a fact. It is fun.
It's not fun.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Wow. It's fun. We need some marriage
counseling. I'm so confused about your marital dynamic.
I know.
Here we are.
We are going away, just the two of us.
And her arm is around him currently.
Yeah, now it is.
But it wasn't. I did that.
You did.
Through these sentences. I brought it
You
here.
Spoke it into existence.
I'm so good.
My arm is always around you. That's the one thing I noticed about
heart.
Our relationship is that when we drive, I don't know why, but my arm is always around his shoulder, or I'm always holding his hand. Affection, babe, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
Did you guys...
It's valuable.
Tangent. Did you ever see your parents, like, have affection towards each other?
I've never seen my parents.
Oh.
Wow.
Just kidding. No, I have.
Outro music plays.
Yes, my parents were fairly affectionate, but not overly affectionate.
Perfect. Just the right amount.
Just, yes.
To not call the authorities.
What?
Yeah, my dad's a super affectionate guy. My mom is a...
Not a super affectionate guy.
What's
She's
her love language?
Not an affectionate guy.
Gifts?
Huh?
Is her love language more gifts than affection? Like, gifts?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Sharon, if you're listening, let me know.
Let me know.
Yeah, Sharon.
Sharon.
Nice.
I don't call my mom Sharon. I call her mom.
So we had a beginning.
Respect.
We had a...
Sorry, mom.
Yeah, be respectful.
I'm sorry. So sorry, mom, I failed you.
Hi, mom. Mice.
Oh no,
sorry.
Not again.
No one knows what's
not again. We don't even understand that inside joke.
I don't think we do anymore.
No,
either.
I don't. I really don't know how it originated. Anyways.
So we had a random tangent before we hit record. Talking about AOL.
Yes.
You remember AOL, Rob?
Yeah, Jay, I remember AOL.
Okay. We just want to know, we're going to share with our audience all of the AOL names we had. I'll start. I'll break the ice here, Rob, so you don't have to worry about it.
Why do you keep saying to me? Why are you talking to me like you're doing this for me?
No, it's not. He didn't, because you didn't want to.
Because acceptance is part of it.
Acceptance is part of it. Anyways.
I did this to me.
Mine was HallieGally07 at AOL.
HallieGally.
And then my email was singitouthn26@yahoo.com. Those were the only two.
Yeah, was. You had that as your email for like 8 years of our 9-year marriage.
No way.
You had Sing It Out.
We dated for like 7 years. No, it was like, and when we got married, when I signed a mortgage, I wasn't having that on there.
Sing It Out. Just send my paperwork to Sing It Out.
Anyways.
That's good.
All right, Jeremy, yours.
I had
some good ones.
I'm trying to think of all the ones I remember. The one that stuck the most was Guitar Freak.
Woo! He meant freak.
Well, no, it was spelled FRK.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Guitar Freak.
We all know what it meant.
You know what it meant. I had one that was Snidget.
Ooh.
All right. Snidget. You ready for a deep dive in this?
I'm ready.
Snidget is the bird that they used in Quidditch before they invented the snitch. When Hogwarts when Quidditch first came out in the lore, we all know it's not true. In the lore,
wait, what?
When it first came out,
you know,
it was a bird that they had to catch. And the bird was a snidget. Then they made a magic one, and they named it the snitch. So just a little bit of trivia for you there.
So that was, what was that, your like, was that your MySpace name? No, you had your regular name for MySpace.
Guitar Freak was pretty much the real. That was the one I really used. Then I used Snidget for a time just to be fun. And then I had Smelly Eggs.
Say it again, babe. Say it again.
The nasal.
So we could all hear it, please.
Smelly Eggs.
Can you spell that for us? Maybe use it in a sentence.
It is. It starts with an H. H-H-N. Smelly. Because it's an old, anyone who's anyone yeah. knows this quote.
Right.
It's from Andy Milonakis. Do you remember that? TV show or whatever that was out? You don't remember that? There's this guy who has like just this weird voice. He's like, man, I hate Easter. It's like, why do you hate Easter? Because I hate smelly eggs. And I thought it was so funny. I was like, I need a new AOL name. Smelly Eggs.
Yeah, we used to chat on that one.
Smelly Eggs.
Yeah. Oh, Smelly Eggs joined the chat room.
It's funny. It's called humor. Google it.
Or is AIM, the AIMs.
Millie.
I had several. They were also embarrassing. Love to sing ATT, which stood for all the time. Love to dance 247, as in 24/7.
That makes sense.
Moo Moo 47.
Oh, good old
as in
the cow.
I don't know I why that cows.
One. It was spelled M-O-O.
Because you sing until the cows
I
come home.
I think you're still saved as Moo Moo in my Snapchat.
You're Chuck in mine. Yeah. You're Chuck in my phone, I think.
I gotta see. Hold on.
You're
Chuck in your phone.
You're Chuck in my phone.
Yeah, you're Moo Moo Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
There it is.
You're Moo Moo Tom.
Yeah, because I was Chuck and she was Tom, like in the Rugrats.
Rugrats.
We go way back, guys.
That's good.
Anyways.
Go ahead, Rob.
So anyway, what's the topic we're talking about?
You shouldn't be so embarrassed.
I know, it's the
it's
best.
It's a proud thing.
It's so
is
cute.
It proud? Okay, so there I was, a 12-year-old little boy, thinking, how do I help the world around me? I'm going to put myself out there on the internet, and everybody's going to see this name and think, that guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to go to him for some sort of godly advice. And I was like throwing everything together in my head, and I came up with God's Lil Helper 316.
L-I-L.
Wait,
316 for John 3:16, baby.
Baby.
You know. Anyway, that's haunted me ever since. I'm 32 years old. It's been 20 years.
I was going to say, how long did you have that one active, Rob?
It was probably like
he'll still reply.
All the way through high school.
You email him.
Still
he's
on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Gmail account.
So if anybody's looking for any type of advice or anything like that, Godzilla Helper 316 at AAM.com.
AAM.
Didn't you have a Gmail?
Yeah.
I think it was his username. For
I still
every
get those emails. Yeah. I haven't turned it off.
That's where the Bible college still tells you about, like, alumni gatherings.
Yeah. It's still stuck to my Facebook somehow. Like, it's still, like, I even tried to change it.
Yeah.
I tried to change it, and it's still there.
Really?
Same with me.
Weird.
Don't want to put the time.
It's somewhere in the church's history of digital things, and it just always pops up. It's embarrassing, really.
300 years from now, when archaeologists are just discovering like hard drives instead of fossils, they're gonna find God's Little Helper in the Facebook archives.
It's gonna be in the museum one day.
I hope so.
This
would be great. It'll do exactly what I wanted it to do.
That's awesome. All right, yeah. So, what's our topic tonight? What are we talking about? Haley's yawning.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That was a big yawn.
It was a big yawn. I'm just tired.
Can you take a minute?
That was like 10 seconds long.
Was not.
No, from like inhale to exhale to the whole like finishing. Yeah, it was like 10 seconds.
Are you asking me?
Asking
what are we talking
anyone?
About?
I'm like.
The whole the podcast is a conversation, see? So.
Well, you all looked at me while I was in the mid yawn, so I guess I'm the one.
Because during the beginning, we were like, all right, so who's bringing up the topic? And we said,
you know what?
Haley.
Rob, you were passionate about it. Let's talk about it.
I forgot. It's not fair. It was out of my mind because I was not signed up for it.
All right, yeah. Our topic is saved but not free.
Perfect. I remember.
You remember that now?
And now I'm here. Are we tired
or something? So, concept of it. Obviously, we go through our background quite a bit. We're pastors. We talk to a lot of people. We have our own life that we've been through. We've shared our testimonies. And I feel like there's a concept of when you give your life to Jesus, everything just like falls into place. You're free of everything. You've moved through. And while I believe that that's totally possible and a thing, I think we all agree that the journey's bigger than that, right? Mm. The journey's bigger than that. You can be saved, meaning you've put your trust in Jesus. You've taken on that that salvation, but there's still a bunch of things you're not free from. So I guess first, why is that important? Why would it be important to be saved and free if you could get salvation without freedom? Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I mean, the opposite of being free would be enslaved to someone, into something.
Right.
So, I mean, the Bible does say this thing about you're either a slave to sin, or I don't like the word slave, but like it's the idea of you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God in the sense.
Right.
And God, through that, like through obedience to God, there's freedom in it. Whereas with sin, it leads to death. That's how the world was created. Sin will lead to death.
Right.
Well, and it's like...
Eternal, like, death kind of deal. Not just like, everybody's going to die, but it leads to spiritual death.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the whole thing our pastor talks about, which is the gospel, is like, God wants you, sin enslaves you, and Jesus... sorry, I know I slurred there. And Jesus rescues you. Mm-hmm. And when we think about how we can find freedom from our sin, sometimes I feel like we get in a place too where we find ourselves in the same cycles, and we can't, yes. I am sorry, I keep slurring, I don't know, the same cycles, but we get trapped in these cycles of falling back into our sin, and we're like, what is going on? Yeah. Why are we falling back into this? Like, God, I thought this was gonna be okay with when I gave you my life, but why does everything seem to be worse sometimes?
And I think, along the same lines, I feel like we have a lot of people that come to church, get saved, and then realize that life is still the same.
Yeah.
Like life hasn't changed at home. Like it's not as different as they thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think you get different types of things. Yes, you get those people that are radically saved where it's like they met Jesus and they're like, this is like everything about them changes. It doesn't matter what goes on around them. They are different and they're telling people about it.
Yeah. Yep.
And so there's a couple different kinds of people that you run into in those situations.
Well, humanity is so complex. Like there's so many different people that experience different encounters with Christ and mm-hmm. how radical they are with that.
Yeah. And so, go ahead.
No, I heard a funny saying a while ago that's just always rolling around in my head where it's talking about, in this day and age in our culture, we have a lot of spiritual streakers that are running around with the helmet of salvation and nothing else on. Like, I got saved and they're just running around. That's all they got on. Bunch of spiritual streakers. And I was like, that's really
good.
That's
exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, there is...
Cover yourself.
There is that point, though, and there's church a verse. March. I think it's in... It's in John, I believe, or it's either in Romans or John. I can't remember exactly, but it talks about he was talking to the Pharisees, I believe, or other believers, and it was about like not even knowing who Jesus was. It's like you think you're carrying Jesus's name, but you don't know who I am, and that's kind of how like that hits hard sometimes when you think about Jesus. If Jesus said that to you, what would you do? Like, I would be like, if that was an interaction I had in that time, or if I heard those words, I'd be like frozen in my tracks and reanalyzing how I was living my life.
And
we should be doing that.
And that I don't mean to take this too deep, too fast here.
Let's go.
But like I had a conversation with someone today that was talking about communion and how when you take it unworthily, that it the idea of it would be people are coming in and they're dealing, they have bitterness in their hearts. Mm. They have jealousy in their hearts. They're frustrated with a brother or sister, all this kind of stuff. Mm. They have stuff in them that's not of God, yet they sit there and we've done it before as well. In repetitive sin over and over again, and they sit there and take communion as if none of that's happening. Mm. And how that actually brings upon you judgment. Yeah. Like it's basically spitting on what Jesus did for us because of the lack of understanding of what he did. Mm. And it's not real to them. It's like, real in a way, salvation, mm-hmm. but they're not honoring it.
Yeah. They're not living daily in surrender, really. It's like we are going to kind of like put a big word out there, like the practice of like sanctification. Like that's a big part of our Christian walk is that just because we wear the title as a Christian loud and proud, are we really sanctifying ourselves every day and like going through the nitty gritties of our souls and searching and seeing, okay, God, was this aligning with what your truth says? Am I following your scripture well? And sometimes we can get into a trap too, where we find ourselves doing so many actions because it can be reversed, where we're doing all these good things, thinking we're gonna get a ticket to heaven, but yet we're not going to God and confessing our sins. We're just trying to do everything by actions.
Yeah, and that's a huge aspect of it. Yeah. Like it's somebody even said it to me today. It's very easy to deal with sin. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it. And like you have to repent. You have to confess and repent and then ask God to cleanse that part of you, clean you on the inside. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do find themselves, like you said, just ignoring parts of their heart.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. Yeah. Oh, that's totally. The part that's like, it's not just holding something back from Jesus, but like thinking about it in the context of communion, it's dangerous for you. Like according to the Bible, it's dangerous to just unworthily. And it's not like you have to be perfect to take communion. Right. That's right. Not no. the idea.
Always on
exactly
unworthy.
But the idea is we're focusing in on our hearts and we're really saying, Jesus, I remember what you've done for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need to be mad at my brother or sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
dealing with the things that he dealt with on the cross in you.
Yeah.
That's what makes it real. And that, it's already real, but that's what makes it, brings it to life furthermore, you know, through us kind of deal.
Right.
It's very important.
Being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And like looking at what you're doing in your life. And even if it's that morning, you realize, oh, I was angry at my brother. Like, so many times do we just forget about that stuff and move on and we just like hold on to this kind of resentment and bitterness and it just kind of grows or it doesn't go anywhere, but then you just like take communion or, you know, you live your life or whatever and you don't honor those avenues of what forgiveness is like.
That's why he died.
Right.
That's the stuff he set us free from.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there holding on
because
to it.
Because sometimes though, we don't think those things are sinful. You know, in our Christian minds or just in minds in general, we categorize sin and we think, oh, I didn't, you know, sleep around or I didn't, you know, get drunk or whatever. Like those things, I did good there, but like there's so many other layers of sin that God sees it all.
That's one of the things that Rob and I we've been for a few years now very intentional about the ride to church. Because for a lot of couples, that's a place where arguments just start because you're rushing out the house trying to get to church. And, like, I've heard a lot of couples say, like, oh, yeah, I'm mad at my spouse because, you know, they're being dumb. And it's like, here's the place to forgive them right here, right now. Like,
wow, yeah, you're convicting.
You don't want to start worship with bitterness because
no,
how are you
so going to
worship?
Why,
in
we start this no, podcast I, with you angry at me? No, what do you mean?
No.
Boy, you are convicting me right now.
But no, what you're saying is so true, though. Like, there are many times because I'm not here as early as Jeremy is here on Sundays sometimes because I have the kids and I don't have to Excuse me, I don't have to show Whoa. Up. I choked on my own spit. I don't have to show up so early. Sorry, I'm choking now.
Give the woman some water.
I know, I don't have my water bottle. I left my emotionally supported water bottle at home. Thanks, Marie. Anyways, no, I was just saying, like, it's convicting because there are many times where I'm overwhelmed in the morning. I'm trying to get the kids going, rushed out the door, like, you know, and it's, I feel like I spend sometimes more of my mornings just trying to, like, I'm living in a rushed state of mind, yeah. and that rushed state of mind can bring on stress to the kids, mm-hmm. and I'm just not in the place of, I don't know, like, of where I want to be. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Finish Please your, hold. You had a, I feel like you had more to say. You guys are intentional about the drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to avoid that bitterness, because I think it was before we were, like, so heavily in ministry, we would argue on the way to church just because mm-hmm. we'd be like, I feel like before ministry, when we only had to just show up to church or only show up like an hour earlier, we would always be late. But now, like, that we have to be there.
Now you show up at like 6 a.m.
it's like fine. But we would always argue because it'd just be like, we're rushing out the door and we're just angry or just unprepared for the morning. But I hate the feeling of unresolved arguments, period. But then going into worship and having to pretend that everything's yeah. okay for an hour to 2 hours Oof. Is the worst. You feel so phony and hypocrite. Yeah,
right.
Because you're supposed to be doing it with joy.
Hopefully. Right? Hopefully. I think there are people who have been saved but not free for so long that it's so normal. Mm, right? Yeah. This idea of we know people that they can turn on the spiritual switch at any moment. Mm. I think that's a scary place to be too.
It is. Like,
hopefully, and that's a good sign of your heart right. when it's rough to like, are you kidding? I gotta go up on stage and be like, welcome to church, yeah. but I'm angry.
Well, you're acknowledging.
You know, like that. You don't wanna do that, but some people can, like they're stuck in, you know, and I think we've all been there in a season of stuck in absolutely. Something that we know we don't want to be a part of, or mm-hmm. we're just angry at someone all the time, or you're bitter at whatever, but you still go up and act like it's a scary place to be where you're like totally okay with being hyper spiritual.
Yeah.
Yet and you're holding things back.
I think there's a beauty to being able to worship despite your circumstances. Like there are some things outside of your control. You're in the midst of grief, or you're in the midst of trying to figure out how to help your family in some sort of way.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful to be able to almost put on a face of joy and then realize I can actually be here. Like mm-hmm. I can actually be joyful because God is good. It like almost is like a reminder. The people around you hold you accountable to the joy of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on what we're talking about. Like I would never want to go into worship angry, aggravated, bitter, but going into worship in sorrow, I feel like is a beautiful depth of worship.
Yeah, that's good. So what is to you guys, like what is freedom? Some people, if you think through someone that is saved but not free yet, to describe what's waiting for them, right? That's just something I was thinking of. To describe this way, it's like one thing that came to mind for me, and I think there are multiple areas, so there's plenty to talk about. The idea of freedom can be something like, something can come up about, so I think there's freedom from a lot of things, freedom from whatever, your family dynamic, freedom from a messed up life you lived before you followed Jesus. So like one aspect I think of like, what is freedom? The idea of nothing being untouchable or something that can't be a conversation about your past. Mm. To be free from the idea of like, nothing can trigger me into shame, trigger me into protection mode, because I feel like that's a sign of not being free yet. Don't bring up that about me. No, we're not going to talk about that right now. Like, there's this type of idea of like, but Jesus has called us into this, like, I think, did we say it in this one already, this episode already? Like, the unoffendable life, this idea of like, bring up anything because I've been forgiven, I've been set free, I've been redeemed. Like, anything's up for conversation. And I just think, like, if you think about people's lives and how guarded they feel like they have to be, especially in this day and age, like, I think it's just really cool and a really great invitation. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if nothing triggered you into protection mode or triggered you into guilt mode, and you actually were allowed to process that with the Lord enough to where it's safe?
Yeah.
I think that's a piece that's like,
think of a group of people that are able to trust each other enough to be open. Like that's a different world.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I feel like so many people have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, they don't know what that's like.
And that's what church should be. That's the freedom that people should see when they walk into the church, because they will know us by the way we treat each other.
Right.
And if we're harboring unforgiveness or bitterness or jealousy, those are all things that don't show the fruit of Jesus, of what he's done for us, the things he set us free from. And that's just being a bad image of God, but under the guise of being saved, but not free, right?
Yeah.
And I think going back, I think there's just naming out a couple different types of people. You've got people that have grown up in the church and know what it is to be saved, but for me personally, I didn't experience I knew what it was to be saved, but freedom, like from the whole pornography side of things, happened later, and that was the first time the truth set me free. Like, that kind of thing happened, and that was for me a thing. Like, and so I was saved, but not free.
Yeah,
and so just bringing it home to me,
that's
a thing. It's very real. I don't know if you guys have experienced that in your own lives, but like, I know for me that was very real.
Yeah.
So there is more to just growing up in church. There's a check your heart. Always be checking your heart. And I think I was always pretty internal. Like, I would always be like checking myself and trying to be right. And but I think I just started believing a lie somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And that just nudged me off the path a little bit, and I was in bondage to something. And that can be anyone to anything.
Yeah.
So you know who you are and you know what it is, but be looking for it if you don't.
Yeah. I remember I knew someone in the church that I always found it interesting because they craved a connection with God. They wanted it all the time. If worship was happening, they were, I think, honestly, they were seeking God in times of worship. But at the same time, they would be able to say, like, you know, I want to pray about this next step that God has for me, but I'm not. And I would ask, like, why wouldn't you? They say, well, I think I already know the answer, and I just don't want to think about it right now.
Yeah.
And I remember then it was a longer time ago, so I had no good, like, what do you say about that? Like, you know, and this was a person who, like you were saying, like, they were in the faith for a long time, but there was like still areas that they didn't want to give up or they didn't want to work through, which I think is probably the topic of like, why can't we be free? What holds us there? But you were going to say something before.
I was just
going
to say, I think there gets to a point, and I heard this from a conference recently that I thought was just interesting, that it's like you don't even enjoy your own sin, and that comes in a time frame where you get so drowned by what you're doing and what you're living in that it's not even enjoyable anymore. And you're like, where else do I go?
Yeah.
And I think that's sometimes some people have to get to that point, unfortunately, where they have nothing else because they don't even like what they're doing anymore, and they know it's wrong, so they're at their wit's end, and what do? It's an encounter with Christ at that point, and it's like, okay, God, like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna try this thing out. And sometimes it has to get to that point.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, what is it to be free? And Pastor Nate, I think he talks about it all the time. He says the John 10:10 life. It's abundant life.
Yeah.
Like, it life, really, life. It to be free from those things means that there's a connection with God that sin's not blocking you from.
Yeah.
And that brings so much life to you and to the people around you. And that's what freedom really is.
Yeah.
And I love to, and I think, I feel like we're even discovering this in our own life, the freedom. So like sin wants to hold you in one spot, right? Mm-hmm. Our flesh just, it holds us in one spot. Shame holds you in one spot. You're stuck here. I'm holding you here. You can't get out. You're going to be ashamed. Freedom, I feel like, does the opposite. There's always more freedom every step of the journey of following Christ.
Absolutely.
When you start surrendering those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like for us, we've talked about some bigger freedoms, right? Freedom from pornography. That's amazing. That's a huge thing that we've been freed from. But there's still things that I feel like God's like, great, we knocked that out.
Yeah.
I got something else for you too. Mm-hmm. You have some identity issues that I'm going to work through. Mm-hmm. You have some people-pleasing issues that I'm going to work through you. And like all these things. And like freedom is the part of salvation that keeps giving.
Yeah, man.
And keeps moving through. And I think that's the beautiful part is like, as you continue to invite it,
it's like
there's always another layer of
freedom.
You lift
up where it's like then the shame and the guilt drag you under. And it's like freedom just keeps elevating you and it keeps growing.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Because like I feel like to somebody who doesn't believe, they'd be like, oh, you mean more work? Like,
no.
It's really, I mean, yes, it's work, but it's fulfilling. And like you do, like you feel lighter. You feel
free.
Lifted. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy because I think the world views it as like opposite. Confinement. Like,
doing less. This. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give up this next. I'm going to give up this next. But you get deep enough, and it's like, no, I'm going to give up the fact that I cared so much about what those random people thought about me that it crippled me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving that up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk knowing who I am that God has made me to be. Like, that is a gift to receive, not something you give up.
And that's the lie of sin, right? Yes. It always looks like it's better giving to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is that it's really, like you said, crippling you.
Yeah.
It's literally disabled you and it's affecting the people around you in a negative way, whether you see it or not. But when you're free, it's the opposite. It's the exact opposite. You're giving life to people because life is in you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't stopped the pruning process of God. Sorry, pruning.
I think like it's dangerous when you get to the place where you think you're all full in bloom, like, and you don't think you need to prune anymore.
Yeah.
That's a good point too.
Because that's a rocky place to be when you're a Christian is like.
Yeah, if you don't know what your next like freedom piece is or that like.
You're like, I made it, I'm good.
Yeah, I've arrived.
Yeah,
that's,
potentially you found it.
It's that's pride.
It's pride. You gotta work on it.
Yeah.
Let's help you out and point it out for you.
Yeah.
So what keeps you from freedom? So someone's listening. If someone's listening and they're like, yes, sounds great. I would like more freedom, please. I would like to participate in that. Like, what
call this number, 1-800.
God's little helper.
God's little helper.
1-800, God's little helper.
Circle back.
What does that look like? Have we hinted at it enough? Have we talked about it enough? Like, what?
I think it's understandable at this point. I think, like, are you asking what the steps are?
I think it's one, it's confession.
No, we haven't talked about that.
It's being honest with yourself. It's confessing and it's analyzing your heart. And it's like, those are practical things anyone can do. You can do it at any point in your day. You can sit there, check yourself and be like, shoot, I lost my temper at breakfast at this point with my children and I need to apologize to my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Humility right there. And you model that for your children or you model that to your friend or your spouse. If you're in a bad situation and your spouse isn't treating you well, you know, it's a hard place to be. And I can't really speak on that. I don't feel like I should, but you still have to show them the love and grace that God's given you. So it depends on situations, obviously, but
So in the freedom course that we're taking at our church, it gives us a really helpful tool to be able to deal with those types of things when they come up. And it listed it out in like, I think it's 4 or 5 steps. I don't You read it last year. I read it this year. I'm on my own. So the first one, if you can remember, if you can remember any of them, please help me. the first one is confess.
Yeah.
So if you need to get something out, it is good to confess to another person that you can trust. Mm-hmm. Repent. Go ahead.
Just if we can hit on each one.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're working through.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can look it up. I think part of confession too, we always talk about confess of the idea of like, confess you committed that murder, right? Confess.
Yeah.
Confess.
Yeah. No.
But I think sometimes confession can also be, this happened to me. This is a thing. Yeah. There's a, hey, I did this, but also I endured this thing that's holding me here as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because sometimes shame and guilt can look different in different people in different situations. And sometimes if something, for instance, for I'm speaking for myself, there was years where I had a lot of shame and guilt from things that didn't necessarily...
That I didn't do,
but I still felt like I couldn't tell anyone about that.
And it was, yeah, it was the and same was, steps for you.
It's the same steps. It's the same practical steps of talking about what happened, being open and honest about those situations, and realizing, okay, God, I don't have to have shame and guilt in those things because, yeah, I was robbed of my innocence at a very young age. Yeah. Things happened to me that I didn't want to happen. And I allowed the enemy to speak other things over me and make me feel like it was my fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, a practical sense in that is it is to talk about it. And it's to confide in somebody that you trust.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you know those areas by what are you almost unable to share?
Mm-hmm.
That you know, like, I don't want a group knowing this about me. That's an area that I'd say is like a red flag. Like, that's probably a confession area for you. But anyway.
I think one thing to talk about that, I think our world, and I'm not saying anything wrong about therapy or counseling, I think it's important, but I think we've accepted therapy and counseling as a form of confession. But in reality, it is what we're supposed to be, where we are supposed to be confessing to each other, talking about the things that we've done wrong. But I think sometimes we use it as a way of just like a gateway to just like, not really come to the root of what that is.
Right.
And that is
to
confess.
Yeah. I think it's important to confess to not only like the person that you either sinned against or maybe even not even, maybe not even the person closest to you, but potentially trying to find it within yourself to confess to, like you said, like a group of people, because when, first of all, it builds relationship and it builds trust, but it allows for multiple different perspectives about what your questions are or what your unresolved issues are.
Yeah.
Because like I know you, Haley, would bring up completely different perspective than even Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Like Jeremy would be able to be like, so what does that do in this area? And you'd completely bring up something different. And like that helps you, like, real, true walking therapy. Like, it's almost like you'd go to your therapist and be like, actually, everything's pretty kosher.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, I think it's important to find those people, trust those people, and understand that it's good.
It's really funny you say that because we went through a counseling, and I stuck with a counselor for a long time, therapist. I took a long time in between, but again, like for me, like working through all sorts of freedom of like, we talked to a big group of people, we talked to our small group, and my pastor friends, I called every single one of my pastor friends that I trusted and went through it, got so much advice, got so much prayer, experienced all that freedom. My final counseling session was just like a final hoorah.
Yeah.
Like it was, he was just like, you know, man, I wish I could just hug you through this screen.
Yeah.
Great job. Great job. And
high
it was
paw.
Like, and I was just like,
no.
High paw.
No.
And it was just like, I don't know what to talk about. And I well, I got this to dive in. And he's like, listen, man, you've been through a lot. Let's just take it for a second.
Wow.
Let's take this win and
that's
move
so
on.
Cool.
But it was this idea of like, it wasn't like, oh, go me. I just did all this stuff. It was this community that worked through it all together. And I didn't just have to get the wisdom of one counselor. I had a deeply trusted counsel all around.
Mm. You know, so biblical.
It's so nice. Yeah. It was so nice.
It's like God knows stuff.
It's like God knows stuff. He's cooking a thing or two up.
Hey, good looking.
All right, anyway,
that's really cool.
So point number one, perfect. This is going to take a while.
So that's confess. Number two is repent.
So a thing about, no.
Number two is repent, and it's literally turning the other way. So recognizing the lie that you believed, replacing it with the truth, and going that way.
Amen.
Holding on to it.
Anyone else tear up when Pastor Nate was talking about that in that sermon? That was a beautiful, Pastor Nate.
People don't know what that sermon means.
You guys do.
Anytime Pastor Nate has tears in his eyes, I about break down.
Water works.
He talked through like, what is repent? Because our idea is like the turn or burn signs, like this idea of like,
repent.
Yeah. But he's like, and he just painted this image of God being like, why are you walking away from me?
Yeah.
Turn around and walk this way.
Yeah.
And the Bible Project did a similar, like, the idea of like,
it's like we even brought up the idea of seeing you walk away.
The idea of your kid running into traffic, right? And you just being like, hey, turn around. What turn around? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to die. You're walking away from me. Walk towards me.
That
like,
is that's, so true. That's like, the imagery. That is death. Sin is death.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that is the urgency God has for us when it comes to our sin. It's like, you're falling in death.
Right. So yeah, anyway, he did a great job.
Yeah. I love Pastor Nate. For sure. I don't remember that, but that it sounds beautiful.
I'll find it. I'll find
I mean, I don't remember it either, Amanda, but I'm like, I see it.
Tell us, when was that?
I think that was the Easter service.
Amanda will tell us.
Amanda Knowles.
Help us, Amanda.
This is for you.
She's going to be like, he actually said that about 5 times over the last 10 years.
Are we praying to Amanda right now?
Amanda,
help us.
No, we don't do that here.
Anyway, sorry. So repent. Turn from.
That's right. And recognize the lie and replace it with God's truth from his word.
Is that another step?
No, that's in repent.
Yeah.
It's part of turning around. Uh-huh. It's replacing the lie with the truth and going that way.
Love it.
The next one is cast off. We must refuse to allow the enemy, and I'm reading now, quoting the Freedom Course, which is free online.
Copyright by.
Church of the Highlands. it says, we must refuse to allow the enemy to continue to use destructive words or events against us, and with the authority of the name of Jesus, command the enemy to leave. Mm. I mean, that brings up the enemy, but there is an idea of we've been being lied to, and lies don't just pop up out of nowhere. Lies are constantly played in our minds, sometimes because we allow them to, but sometimes they pop up initially. Sometimes all the enemy has to do is pop a little thing in there and then have it be like, here's the lie, and then we take it and just run with it.
Yeah.
And we just mess ourselves up with that.
It's like the rumor weed from VeggieTales.
Yeah, I always think of those.
I just watched that for the first time in my life.
You're changed. You're a changed man now.
Yeah, that's what started this whole freedom for me. just kidding. Thanks, Phil.
But cast off is the third one. Thanks, Phil. Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher.
And then number four is bless. Once the enemy has been removed, fill the place that he held with truth and promises found in Scripture. Speak life over yourself by declaring an accurate view of how God sees you.
That's good.
Bless.
It's so good, though. Yeah. It's that is a place I think a lot of us can get in and out of, is like we don't always believe the truth, and it's combating the lies.
Yeah. I guess I've never divvied them up that much.
Yeah.
In my view and experience, it's always been like a two-step process, which I think
all of them are in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think confession
and repent are together.
And confession and repent, I feel like, are connected in my mind. To confess something is to acknowledge out loud, this is something I don't want to do, but it's something I've done.
Yeah.
Like, And obviously there's steps because you can keep confessing the same sin over and over again.
Yeah.
But that's why I think the second step of what's that lie is like really important.
Yeah.
And I don't even necessarily view them in any particular order. I just think both need to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I experienced opposite. And I know a lot of people that it's like any order. And so once people confess, it's like, all right, have you figured out the lie yet? That's our next step.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think it's because my dad said this to me when I was a kid. Perfect. You have anything to confess?
Yeah.
You know, and so you figured that out. Let's talk about. And I just always have set it up as two, because to find the lie, again, it's, I guess they all have their steps in the process.
Yeah.
You have to find the truth next.
Yeah.
Or else you can't replace it.
Yeah. And a helpful thing that we've experienced as a church, that's helped find those spots in our hearts that maybe we don't know what something is stemming from, and you'd be able to speak, I think, more to this, Jay, but the idea of asking the Spirit of God to just reveal to you where is this coming from? Like, did something happen in my past? Would you reveal it to me? And when that does show up and you have the memory back in you, you ask the Spirit of God to put Jesus into that moment for you. And then you get to see what Jesus is doing in that traumatic moment.
Yeah.
And that changes you, mm-hmm. because now you don't believe God is angry or harsh or just like that person, or you don't believe that God is exactly like whatever your false view of God was. Whatever your false view of God was, mm-hmm. is wrecked by what you see Jesus doing, or you know, wherever he is. But
a funny thing.
I'm so sorry about my face. I was just reliving when all of that began in our church, and it was at the leaders' retreat. And I was like, who is that guy? Follow him on Instagram. I was like, Tim Tebow? No. Tim Tebow. I can't remember his name, though.
Do you remember it now?
He wrote Grape Jelly.
Yeah, it's Ty Buckingham.
Okay, so close, right?
Did you hear that, Ty?
You hear that, Ty?
Can't hear Tim Tebow.
Related with Tim Tebow.
So close to Tim Tebow.
That's really that's funny. What that face was. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
I did have a thought, though.
Thanks, Tim, for listening.
I had a thought. I think the repent piece is so important, because for a lot of us, we're so sneaky. Like, we think, okay, I've confessed it. I know the lie now. But, like, I've told people, I've, like, confessed to, like, four different people, and I've asked them to hold me accountable. And if they forget, that's their bad. Like, almost like if you don't repent, if you don't turn from the sin, you're going to keep going back to the sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have, it is the your accountability partner's sin at that point for not holding you accountable. They drop the ball too. But it's like, I feel like sometimes people will skip the repent piece, not necessarily like maliciously, but thinking like,
I
did my piece. Like, it's in everybody else's hands at this point. Like,
yeah.
God, I confess. Like, I feel like this even like happened in our own marriage. Like, God, we confess these sins to you. Save us from them. And we just stand there and wait.
Yeah,
but if you stand there and wait and sit in it, you're going to turn right back around.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to stay in that sin.
Yeah, there's an action step.
There's action steps, exactly. Yeah.
So you like have to move. You can't confess and then just wait.
Think about everybody in the Bible. Like, when God called someone to do it, there were so many action steps that fell through. It wasn't them just like hanging around. Mm. Like, there was action steps they
we're
did.
Just holding that guy. Me? Just hanging around. It's on Instagram. What are you doing? Me? Just hanging around.
I don't think I intentionally, but I know I've said that so many times.
We say it all the time.
So now it's part of my vocabulary. Like,
oh, that's so funny.
Anyway, I'm so sorry.
No, but it's so true.
Look at all those chickens.
Okay, I think that's...
Anyway.
No, I had a good way to end it. Or I have another point, but go ahead if you've got something else.
No,
Did you finish your sentence? I'm so sorry.
I don't even remember.
I'm so sorry.
Not just hanging around. Funny. The disciples.
There were steps they had to
stuff.
Take.
They were. There
oh
steps
yeah.
They were
no, that was essentially what I was saying.
Is that was period.
That was yeah.
Period. They're not just that was hanging around.
I think to your point too, though, Marie, the idea of confession, like it's crazy that we've even made it a thing where anonymous confession is an option.
Oh yeah.
Like to anonymously, I think, and I fell in this for a while. Confession to God makes no sense. That's not ever what it's talking about. He already knows. There is no confessing to the Lord. He was there when you made the sin. Like he was there when you did it. To confess to him, yeah, there's a level of like, if you can't even do that, there's probably a level there. But I do think God has called us to confess to one another. I think scripture yes. calls us to that. It's like, do you want to be healed? Confess to one another.
Mm. Yeah.
And you'll be healed. And I just think, that's
and now, a needed point. And now imagine a church service full of people that have dealt with things in their heart and that are worshiping God in freedom. Mm. It's a completely different worship service than potentially what anybody's been in. You know, like, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, looking out in, you know, worship nights and all that kind of stuff at our church, that freedom is in the room.
Yeah.
Mm. But think what if everybody had that freedom.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We were just like, talking it would about be that different. The other day about knowing what we've experienced and with our relationship and then our friends' relationships and everybody around us that we are close with, the freedom they're just now experiencing in their life. And it's like there's so many other people in this yeah. church that need to know what that true freedom is like for them.
And God cares yeah. about every one every of them and person. Wants that freedom for them.
I'm probably so far away from the mic.
Yeah, wants them. And yeah, we're not called to be, you know, it's this sad reality of the dog returning to its vomit. This idea of like, you hate yourself, you go back to it. Like, we're just not called for that. No. And that's not the life. Like, we're not just like, that's not what suffering for the gospel no. is supposed to look like. You know what I mean? Like, you know, well, I'm saved, but I'm suffering for the gospel because of this
yeah, thing. I'm still here there's and I'm verse, fighting and moving
there's
on.
There's a verse I wanted to share. It's about having confidence in Christ. It's been something that I've been just that's repeating good. Myself to myself the past couple of weeks. And I'm just going to read it because I have it like literally right here. It says, I'll read it just a little bit further than what I had. But dear children, let's not merely say, this is 1 John 3, 18 through 20. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. And I just love that because it's like, I feel like it's kind of ties into what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But it's just having the confidence in knowing our God is there. He takes us, he accepts us. And when we confess and we're there, we have a confidence in Christ. And I just like that. We don't have to have guilt or shame anymore.
Yeah.
When we repent and when we confess.
Yeah. yeah. And he does his good work yeah. in the truth.
In the truth. Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was just. Wait, hold on.
Got a phone call.
Nope.
I'm just kidding.
Someone dialed 1-800.
You found it?
It's hanging around.
What are you doing?
Me? It's hanging around.
Here we go. Anyway,
but either way, those four steps are something that you can do anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like that doesn't have to be at a church service or wherever.
And if you don't have a group of friends, because I know there's probably a lot of people that don't feel like they have people they can talk to in confidence or whatever it may be, go to church.
Yeah.
Like find a place where you can like talk to somebody that like even if like it's one of us or like, I mean, we're happy to be there, but like that's an action step for you too.
Yeah.
Is to find a somebody that you can confide in and talk to without the shame or guilt, with no judgment, and just somebody that can help you and guide you through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time, those people don't fall in your lap. You have to find them.
You do. Absolutely.
That could be a whole podcast.
I
just wrote it down. The hard work of building your
community.
Building your community.
That's so funny. That's all were like, bing.
Let's talk about it.
All right. That's good. Let's check out.
Let's check out.
I'm checked out.
Check, please.
Bye, everyone.
I mean, I was like, bye.
Double take home.